When I got pregnant with my son, that's when everything was like laser focused for me. It really brought all my ambitions to fruition, and I just knew what I wanted to do, and that was to help empower other women and to help my community through the Arab American Women's Business Council. Motherhood has taken my ambitions to the next level. So for me, it's embracing this mom guilt and constantly reminding myself of why I'm doing it. And that goes back to your question of how I started saying no. So for me, if I'm at a board meeting, I learn to deal with my guilt, my mom guilt, because I think I have a bigger goal in mind and what I'm doing is going to benefit my kids in some way.
Welcome to the Mother Honestly podcast. This is your host, Blessing Adesio, founder and CEO of Mother Honestly. On this show, we interview ambitious women that are thriving in and beyond motherhood. Expect honest and real conversations that will encourage and inspire you to take actions on your dreams.
Welcome to the Mother and Stronger podcast. Today, I'm Kristen Baffo, and we have Blessing and Tahara Saad, an engineer from Ford Motor Company.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Welcome.
All right, Tahara, thank you so much for joining us today for our very first podcast for Mother and Stronger. So let me start by asking you, what was your very first job?
Actually, my first job was in engineering. I was a co-op as an engineer.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so I didn't work.
So from day one, engineer.
I didn't really have any odd jobs. My parents were super, super focused that, you know, we'll take care of whatever we can for you. Just focus on your studies and do your homework and get good grades. And that was my job. And I excelled. So
that's awesome.
Mission accomplished. Mm-hmm. So when I was in college, I went into for engineering, electrical engineering. And the first job I got was when I was 19. I got a co-op position at Lear Corporation.
Oh my. So that's funny because that's very similar to my story, right?
No, right. I'm the odd man out here.
Because, you know, I'm a chemical engineer by trade. And my first co-op was also when I was 19. Well, about 18, I would say. Uh-huh. But that was funny because I was like the intern or the co-op queen at school. Mm-hmm. Like literally I did like 5 internships or co-ops. I was never in school. So it's really an amazing thing that I actually graduated. So
right.
Tahara, you're also the vice president of the
Arab American Women's Business Council.
Amazing.
So thank you. It's a passion of mine. It's a nonprofit. We're a 501c3, and I've been on the board for about 3 years, and we're a professional organization for women of various fields. So not only in business, we like to cater to women in different careers, in different fields. We have networking and we have a mentorship program. We also have a signature event that we do every year around November time, and it's our annual networking breakfast. And we have like a keynote speaker. We honor an Arab American Businesswoman of the Year, and we give out scholarships.
So wonderful.
Yeah, we always try to do
that's
great.
That's amazing.
And then also we have a series that, you know, is my my passion project. It's called Her Path to Success. And it's in it we spotlight women that are successful and excelling in their career, experts in the field possibly. But it's more than just interviews. It's teaching other women how to define success and figure out what they want, but also give them the tools they need to get there. So it's learning through other women's stories and really just being inspired by them.
And so that's very like similar to what, you mm-hmm. know, what we do here at Mother Honestly
right.
as well, except you know,
that's why we get along so well.
I know, like we specifically focus on moms
right.
because we really want like women to redefine success in their own terms mm-hmm. in motherhood mm-hmm. and really just help them think about work differently or even think about their passion. So we don't call it work. We call it like creativity, passion, and innovation, formerly
right.
known as work, because we don't believe that, you know, work is real. It's basically one of those things that we were kind of told by, you mm-hmm. know, some old boys network
and society.
And so we feel like, okay, you know, it's time to change that. it's time to redefine success on our own terms. So I really love that. So what motivated you? Like, what motivated you to be an engineer? Because that's not a path that a lot of women take, right? So I'm in engineering, and I know that, like, when I was in school, I would look around and I would be like, oh my goodness, I'm the only female here. You know, I better represent. So what motivated you?
You know, when I was in high school, I was really good in physics and math, and I really wasn't sure what I wanted to do. So I was sitting down and having a conversation with my dad, and he was telling me a little bit about what he does. And my dad actually has a PhD in engineering. And before I graduated high school, he was still a professor, and he taught at Lawrence Tech. So while he was there, he was telling me about senior projects that the students had to do. And one of the projects was the Formula SAE car. And he was the advisor, the electrical advisor on that program. And he was telling me about what it was. And I just thought it was so fascinating. And I'm like, that's really cool. And as I was transitioning and getting ready to go to college, my dad was also leaving his job at leaving Lawrence Tech and going into engineering. He also worked at Ford. So seeing that transition and seeing what he did, just I just got excited and I really loved it, and I wanted to go into the automotive industry. So I looked, my dad said, you know, the best route is engineering.
And I see Kristen nodding because she worked for automotive, so she knows more about that industry more than I do.
I did a little bit of marketing in the OEM and aftermarket department. So
it's fun stuff.
It is.
So exciting.
It's fun, but it is a boys' club.
Always
a boys' club.
I know me. In high school, I just hung out with all my girls. I didn't really have too many guy friends. And, you know, I was in my community. And for me to go even to Lawrence Tech, even though I went from Dearborn to Southfield, it was a culture shock for me because I wasn't expecting it. I was surrounded by all girls. And then I go, and now there's all boys. I'm like, wait.
That was the shock for me, like literally. And so I had to seek out, you know, professional organizations like Society of Women Engineers. And, you know, because I really wanted to have that, you know, support, because that was very important to me. So as a woman, and as a mom, right, you have a son.
My son is 3, and I also have 2 stepdaughters that are 12 and 10.
You got all the ages going on in your house right now.
Oh, yes. We got a good balance.
Exciting moment. So how has being a mother affected your ambitions?
You know what? Motherhood has taken my ambitions to the next level, to be honest. I've was in and around and doing other stuff before motherhood. So when I got married, I actually had 2 kids right away.
Yeah, you gained 2.
So I had 2 daughters immediately. They were 5 and 7 when we got married. And it just changed my entire outlook on life, because now you'll, even though as a stepmom, right, I had different responsibilities than their dad and their mom, I still wanted to be a good role model to them and have them. I wanted to be someone that they could look up to.
And their daughters, right?
And their girls,
Wonderful.
So I started really thinking about different stuff, and I was finishing up my master's at the time and looking for different ways to get more involved into my community and how I could give back and help not only my stepdaughters, but all girls to know their worth, to know their value, to know that they are more than just girls, right? I went into the boys' club and I redefined everything for myself, and I struggled along the way. It wasn't easy for me.
No, it's never easy, especially when you're kind of like the odd one out.
Yeah,
trying to find the balance of standing out. Yeah,
exactly. And I felt like, how can I help the next generation? How can I ease their struggles as much as possible? We still want them to go through their own trials and tribulations, because that's what shapes us, right? But if I can help them in any way, let me do it.
Yeah.
And when I got pregnant with my son, that's when everything was like laser focused for me. It really brought all my ambitions to fruition, and I just knew what I wanted to do, and that was to help empower other women and to help my community through the Arab American Women's Business Council. But then I also do stuff on my own because for me, it's a broader picture.
We're going to come back to that. So one of the reasons why you're actually one of our very first guests is because, like, I see you as a multi-dimensional person. I see you as a multi-passionate person, and that's very important to me and even to us here at Mother and Stronger, Mother Honestly, community, because that's pretty much where we see, you know, the future of work going, where women are, you know, multidimensional. They have so much to offer outside of their, you know, quote unquote work, that they are seeking ways to, you know, to nurture that goal and that ambition. So, but back to motherhood, because, you know, I have a 9-year-old as well.
That's right.
Female, and I think it's the same thing. It's like, you know, you have this child and you want them to see your work ethic. You want them to really understand that, you know, they can chart their own future, that they don't need to fit into a box. They don't need to be told what to do. So that leads me to the next question. How have you been able to align your goals and ambition with your role as a mother? So that's a question that we ask everybody on this show, just because, like, it's very hard. Motherhood is tough.
Yeah.
It is tough.
So. It's the toughest job. I mean, it's nonstop. Even when you're not there with your kids, it's still, you're still a mother and you're still thinking about them. And
there's still challenges that you have to overcome.
Right. It's never ending.
And so from that perspective, because, you know, you want to be an exceptional mother, right? And you also want to, you know, have this career. You also have this, you know, Arab, you know, women in business
that
you're working on. You have, you know, path to success and so many other various things that you're working on. So how have you been able to align those things? So I don't call it balance, because I think the idea of balance is just not, is almost nonsensical at this point. There's never any balance, because something is always going to drop. We don't know what, but something's going to like literally not get done, and that's okay. So how do you, you know, ensure alignment and integrate your various roles into your overarching goal of being an exceptional mother?
So that's a great question, because I actually do workshops on work-life balance. And I say that because it just kind of draws people in. But once I get into this workshop or I start talking about these talk, I say, lose the idea of balance, right? Mm. It's the first thing you say is, a balance implies there's a scale and there's two equal weights.
So, were you? Oh my goodness. So, literally, so I was in Grand Rapids, you know, 2 days ago or 3 days ago. And this was exactly, maybe it's because we're engineers and we like literally think alike.
We think alike. We get each other, blessing.
This was exactly what I said. I said, you know, your balance is two, like, you know, my engineering skill set here, it implies that you only have two things that are weighing against each other. And that's just not true, because as moms, we all know, Kristen is not in her head because she has another baby coming. maybe I should not say that on here.
Oh,
sorry,
no, it's okay. By the time this airs, it'll all be news.
she's like, wait, what do you mean? But literally two things, which is not true. It's, you know, you have more than two things happening that is, you know, you're constantly juggling. So
And that's funny you say that. You and I are always on the same page. I said it's juggling. And because if you think about it, a juggler has multiple balls and they throw one ball into the other hand, then they throw it up in the air, and then it circles like that, right? So you can only have one ball up in the air at any given moment. Mm. And that, to me, that ball up in the air is your priority at that moment. Mm. So I have multi-passion. I have multi-projects. I'm doing a lot of different things. And in that, for me, I prioritize. And something that I say to do is prioritize long term and then prioritize daily. I'm a night owl. So every night before I go to sleep, I take a look at my next day's schedule and think, okay, do I have any appointments that I have to go to? Do I have any meetings that I need to be at? Do I have any events that I'd like to attend? What's the priority for that day?
What a great habit to get into.
It's so important, and it's made such a difference, because we either overcommit ourselves or we get overwhelmed by things and we can't really make any decisions. And sometimes that overwhelm stresses us out and it gives us so much anxiety that we shut down.
Girl, you are preaching to me right now.
It's motherhood. We all go into it, right? Mm-hmm. It's, as a mom, we have everything we're doing, but no matter what we're doing or where we're at or who we're talking to, mm-hmm. our kids are always in the back of our mind, right?
Absolutely.
So that alone is overwhelming enough. So you have to be able to prioritize your thing. And for me, it changes, right? Some days I have AAWBC stuff where I have a board meeting. That's my priority. Some days I have Mother Honestly events I'd like to attend. So that's my priority for that day because I feel like it's important to me to take part and to help people as much as possible. And then the other days, you know what? I'm going to take a day off work. I'm going to cancel all my meetings and I'm going to take the kids to the zoo. It's about balancing that. So
I love that you said cancel your meetings because like that's the one struggle for me as a you know, as a multi-passionate woman where there's so many things on my calendar and I'm like, okay, you know, at the time it sounded like a great idea, you know, to go to this meeting or go to this event or, you know, meet up with this person for lunch and I feel guilty.
Right.
So it actually leads me to my next question is how do you say no? Because I always feel guilty. I'm always like, oh my God, you know, am I going to have to cancel on Kristen or cancel on Tahara because I have so many things that I'm juggling and this is just, it sounded like a great idea, but it's no longer.
I feel like we get into this thing where if we have the open space on our calendar, we're so quick to fill it without really thinking about ourselves and what we actually need in that moment.
Right. And what's best for us. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's honestly, I used to say yes to everything and everyone because I'm so eager to help and it's a part of my nature of who I am. If I can help you and you ask me for something, I'm going to do it. But at some point you get burnt out and you get overwhelmed and you realize you can't help everybody. So I ended up almost getting selfish to a point where thinking, okay, I have bigger picture in mind. I have bigger goals. I have bigger ambitions that I want to achieve. So what I would do is ask myself these questions. Is this something that's going to benefit my goals? Is this something that's going to benefit me as a person? Or, you know, the main one for me is this something that's going to benefit my family? And if it doesn't reach these top questions and it's not going to help me in some way, I got to take a step back and I got to say, you know, I'm sorry, I really don't have time. If you want, I can give you pointers, but I really can't help you out with this.
Back to that juggling and prioritizing.
Yes, 100%. That's exactly where I go to everything. I always prioritize everything and even my thoughts, the way I think. I've learned to prioritize the way I think and catch yourself with these negative thoughts. And, you know, if you think you're going to fail, you're going to fail. Mm-hmm. But if you tell yourself, I'm going to make this a priority, then you will.
Absolutely. So when you, you know, I think that you and I are very similar in terms of like engineering, multi-passionate and, you know, having multiple things to juggle, right?
Right.
So how does this not affect you as a mom? And what I mean by that is the mom guilt, you know, like, so I like, because I have so many things happening and I just, sometimes I feel really bad. I'm like, oh my God, you know, am I doing the right thing? You know, am I available for my kids and my husband? And, you know, am I taking care of myself? So how do you deal with that guilt?
It's hard, to be honest. It's very, very hard because I feel you can't get rid of it. So getting this idea of, I'm going to lose this mom guilt and I'm just not going to have it anymore and I'm going to work on getting rid of it. Don't even bother because you can't. You're a mother.
It's part of our biology.
It's literally, yes. So for me, it's embracing this mom guilt and constantly reminding myself of why I'm doing it. And that goes back to your question of how I started saying no. So for me, if I'm at a board meeting, I learned to deal with my guilt, my mom guilt, because I think I have a bigger goal in mind and what I'm doing is going to benefit my kids in some way, right? And then even something as simple as if this is, I'm going out for a girls' night, I'm going to the movies, I'm going to have dinner with my friends and just to recharge, I deal with the mom guilt that way because as I'm recharging and I'm re-energizing myself, I'm a better mom, I'm a better person and you just have to keep reminding yourself of that. Say, why am I doing this? Why am I away from my kids right now? Is it part of the bigger picture? And how is that going to benefit them in the future? And if you, in my mind, I always bring it back to them that you know, my son is, what I'm doing is I'm helping the future generation of kids, hopefully. And
that's what we all
look, absolutely.
Right?
We're totally molding minds every day.
Right. Who knows what we actually accomplish at the end of the day, right? You never know who you're affecting. But in my mind, that's what I'm doing. And I feel like my cause is noble. And I feel like I'm still there for my kids. And I still, you know, take care of them as much as I can and as much as they need me.
I was actually just saying that about 2 days ago, I can't remember who I was talking to, and I was like, I actually feel like I spend more time with my kids because I work in batches. Like, you know, I think, again, this all goes back to having that engineering mindset where I'm like, okay, I like everything I do is batch work. I don't, you know, like if I'm cooking, I'm like, oh, I'm going to cook for the next 7 days, you know, and have that in the freezer. And I'm going to, you know, spend this. I don't just spend little chunks. I'm like, I'm going to spend the entire weekend with my family. And that just means that every other meeting is canceled and I will not be meeting up with you for brunch like I originally had planned. So I work in batches. And so when I'm dealing with mom guilt during the week, I just remind myself, oh, you know, you're going to spend the next, you know, 48 hours with your kids and take them out to the movies, take them out to the, you know, dinner and have fun. And it's the same with my husband. I'm like, you know, I will batch, you know, time together with him. And I actually just told him, I said, you know, we should go out on, you know, one of this weekend and just rent an hotel. Well, not rent an hotel, but at least, you know, book an hotel for a night and just, you know, relax and do nothing.
Spend time together. I feel like it's our husbands that always get left out.
Oh, yes.
Poor men.
I always feel bad for him.
I'm totally struggling. I mean.
But you know what? My husband gets it.
Yeah.
And I think when they see that we're passionate and we're happy, because we always talk about women have supported men and their dreams and their goals and their ambitions for so long. And I love now that women are going after their ambitions. And I hope that the men in our lives are going to be supporting us. And it's now no longer men's ambitions and women support them. It's both of our ambitions and both of our goals and how we support each other. We're a team to get this done.
Absolutely. I love that.
And I think that one of the reasons, you know, why a lot of, you know, career, business, what have you, you know, profession, have succeeded, women have succeeded is because they've had the support of men. You know, as much as we like to joke around here that, you know, or the old boys.
boys
I think
club.
That, like, I feel like, you know, and I think I speak for everybody here in the room that, you know, the only reason why we've been able to do a lot of what we're doing is because we've actually had, you know, supportive husbands or supportive spouses at some point in our lives or even throughout our lives. And I think that that makes a difference. And I really want to shed some more light. I wanted to talk more about that because, you know, especially with the Me Too movement and just various things that are happening around the world or in
the
our country today, it almost seems like, you know, we're bashing men and we're saying, you know, which, you know, for some
the
of them,
they
deserve.
It's good.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Right. They absolutely deserve to be bashed. But I think, you know, overall context of, you know, just men that are fully supportive of women, supportive of our ambitions and our dreams and our goals, I think that almost makes it possible for us to do what we do. And anyways, I don't know where I was going with that, but I just wanted to point it out that.
So even in the corporate world, they talk about having men champions and men mentors because some of these men in higher positions, right? There's more men than women in here. So it's almost like they have to take it upon themselves to champion women and to help grow them career-wise and say, how can I help you out professionally? How can I get you in the right meetings? How can I not give you the job, but give you the platform so you can prove yourself and get to where you want
to be. Exactly. And I actually look at my career because obviously I'm surrounded by men. I joke about that all the time. I'm like, I'm drowning in the sea of men. Like literally, but I look back and I think about my career progression and why I've been able to succeed. You know, in corporate America, I think it's because of some of those men that really support me and, you know, put me in the right room and say, hey, you know, go ahead and prove yourself. And
foster that growth.
Exactly. So I have a few questions for you before we let you go. What's your favorite book?
Oh, that's a good question. I read so much and I go through them so quickly.
What's the first one that comes to mind?
Honestly, it's Man, now you're putting me on the spot.
Oh, my goodness.
Now I'm going to expose myself to the kind of reading that I do. I read a lot of teen YA, like the young adult.
Okay, yeah.
That is
so
amazing.
Not teens, but more young adult, because I find it so fascinating. And I do a lot of dystopian, too. So I read Divergent.
Okay. Mm,
that is...
I actually love that book because it has a lot of psychology in it. And it has... I feel like it's multi-layered. And it has... I love to see where the heroine, you know, has a certain thing in her mind and she's just following through and going through the motions. But there's some type of rebellion for a better cause.
Rebellious women.
And but for a good
cause,
right?
I see where this is going.
So I don't know. I just felt like that book, it was entertaining to me. I read for entertainment purposes. To me, it's... I like to read, you know... empowerment books and self-help and all that other stuff. But for me, it's my form. It's my outlet. And it's how I will relax at the end of the day and kind of shut my brain off of everything. Because it's going a million miles a minute all day long.
Yeah. And you need to step it down a little bit, which leads to the next question. How do you take care of yourself? Because for me, like, I think I was reading a couple of statistics before coming here. And you know, I read that women that take care of themselves are much more happier. You know, if you have something that you're working on, a goal that you're working on, you're much more happier. And if you're taking care of yourself, you're a little bit more happy again.
Yes.
So what do you do to take care of yourself?
Honestly, it's not ever just one thing. It's I do what I need to do at that moment, whether it's go get a massage. The other day, I tried out this new Moroccan spa that... Ooh. Oh, man.
I need to come with you next
time. I know.
Yeah.
No,
we need
no,
like
you
a
need
Moroccan.
Call us.
We need a Moroccan spa podcast, guys.
Just sounds
oh,
nice.
Oh, yeah. It was such an amazing experience, and it was unlike anything that I had done in a while. It was like a two-hour experience, and it was a full-body scrub, and it was just so amazing because within those 2 hours, you're not thinking about anything. You're not doing anything.
Hopefully, you're not thinking about the kids and dinner
yeah.
and dishes.
I had a full-body scrub.
I was like, oh. So, I mean, I try to do stuff like that, and then I do reading and for self. You know, I have to have my me time at the end of the night, and I swear to God, yesterday my husband was just making fun of me because he was talking to me. It was like 10 o'clock at night and he was trying to talk to me. We're redoing the basement and a bunch of stuff. So he's looking and he's like, I feel like you've checked out of this conversation.
Yeah,
I'm like, yep.
I'm reading.
He's like, you're just thinking about your me time, right? You want me to go do whatever I need to do right now so you can have an hour to yourself? I'm like, yep.
Exactly.
I've checked out. Can I have some me time now?
That's
because
nice.
You just need to unwind.
It actually goes the same for men too, right? Like my husband is always like, you know, I need my time to, he like literally sits in front of, you know, we have like this projector and so he watches movies and he literally just takes an hour every night to watch something.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I'm going to use that time to go work on my, honestly. And
yeah.
Yeah, that's my me time.
It's to decompress through the day, you know,
yeah.
from your day.
So what advice do you have for women that are struggling right now in their career? Because, I mean, you know, we've been having fun here around being multi-dimensional, being multi-passionate. Mm-hmm. What advice do you have for women that are trying to diversify their passion? Because I feel like, you know, especially with the way work is going, quote unquote, how do we, you know, diversify so that, you know, we're able to at least try different things and
mm-hmm.
see what works?
So I think we've touched on it a little bit already is finding your passion
mm-hmm.
and it's define success for yourself. But to take that back, it's to find your passions and to dabble in different things. And, you know, I just interviewed a bunch of amazing women for my Her Path to Success. And one of the things that kept coming up is the fact that they came about their passions accidentally. But they were open to the idea. They all were unfulfilled with what they wanted to do, and they knew they wanted to do something else, but they weren't sure what it was. So as you go about your day, be open to these passions. And if something makes you happy, do you enjoy doing it? Is it something that you could possibly make money off of and support yourself? Find that passion, then nurse it and grow it and see how you can build it. And you might not make money in the first year, 2 years.
Heck, we're not making
years.
Money.
5 years. I know, right?
It's, I'm and almost it's, like, what? You know, this means we're not making any money. What's happening?
I know. But it takes a while. And I saw a quote the other day. It could be 1 year that makes a big difference for all the 10 years. You know, you could have worked so hard for 10 years, but it's that 1 year that really just builds everything up for you. And it's don't quit and don't give up that, whatever that passion is, find a way to turn it into a booming business. There's home decor accounts that have blown up. You have Inspire Me Home Decor. She does amazing job. She took home decor as a passion and created an empire, essentially.
Out of it. And you know, the influencer marketing is just, in the last couple of years, has just completely blown up.
It's an entirely new profession.
Right. And absolutely. I would caution against that, too, in the sense of influencer marketing is great, but don't set out to be an influencer.
Right. Mm.
Set out to make an impact.
Exactly.
Because that's what's going to last. And that's why I'm so in love with everything that Mother Honestly is doing.
Oh,
because
thank you.
I genuinely love it, because I do. You and I are pretty much on the same page with everything. But within this group, right, I do a lot of women empowerment. But something I always notice is mothers need more. They need a support group. They need a community to say, okay, great, I get all this women empowerment stuff, but
how does it relate to me as a mom?
Right.
And that was one of the reasons why we started Mother Honestly, is because, you know, we found that there was a gap. You know, there were women empowerment blogs, which I love and I read. But I realized that where is that in the context of being a mom? Because, you know, no offense, but if you're not worrying about doing dishes, you know, you're not worrying about laundry, drop off, pick up, you know, vaccinations or not vaccinations, you know, like, you're not worried about all of those things. You may have time to be, you know, to do 5 or 10 different things. But if you have to worry about all this extra stuff, how do you align that properly?
Exactly.
So that was the old premise. But thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. I mean, this is amazing. And I know that you are going to move on to bigger and better things with everything that you're doing. I want you to know that we are really proud of you and the work that you do.
Thank you.
Here in Detroit and beyond.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Mama, for joining us on the Mother Honestly podcast. I am your show manager, Kristen Baffo, asking that you please rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast. And for more resources, visit us at motherhonestly.com or follow us on Facebook and Instagram.